Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Welcome to the GLC with Gary Norris Gray. Call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athletes, Sports Network, and the BASNNewsroom.com for sponsoring the Gray Leopard Code. Send news and information to glcgray@gmail.com. Back to listen to the brothers on the African American AthleteShow.com with Michael Robinson and Ricky Hansen, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 Eastern Time, Tuesday night on BlogTalkRadio.com. The Mighty Oba, formerly from WUFO 1080 Buffalo, New York, will start their season in the Minor Football League with the Rochester Chargers. Also check it out, the SoundCloud Pod every week. At 11 Pacific to Eastern Time, Soul Tree Radio in the Raw with Michael Lewis Ingram with hard political and social sports news. Sunday night is the musical live stream after the music box hour. On Wednesday night is the political stir fry at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific Time. At 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern Time, Sunday night, listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on the Anthony Johnson Show, sending brotherly love over the airways and political food for the soul from the city of Philadelphia. Our sponsors, the New England Informer magazine, Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, good news for the Black community. Young star Travis Singleton with his Kicks for Grades in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Also check out his program, The Sneaker Report, as he covers the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Boston Celtics, as well as other NBA teams. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Be a sponsor. Check in the Cove Caravan email, glcgray@gmail.com. Join the Cove Caravan and the Soul Patrol on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.basnnewsroom.com. Call the Green Leopard Code at 646-727-3649.
Thank you. One more note. As we begin the GOZ, Friday Night Lights, Mickey gets 3,000 hits against the Yankees. Mr. Booze, here we go with the moron. Why are you walking, Mickey, in Detroit? In Detroit. I'll tell you, I see some weird stuff going on this year. And what I saw in the NBA this week is horrendous. I can go better than that. How can you lose a 24 at the end of the game, the so-called team leader said he's going in the basement and drinking some wine. This coach should be fired today. Not tomorrow, not this week, today. The Minnesota Timberwolves have no leadership whatsoever, and they will lose the first round. NBA, other NBA news, Rookie of the Year goes to Scotty Barnes of the Toronto Raptors. Beating out Cleveland Cavalier Evan Mobley. And somebody got to explain to me this. Why three voters left off of their ballot Detroit Pistons and Cunningham? How do you do that? That night, the back number was 111. All the games last night had 111 in it. The Milwaukee Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls 111-81. And they didn't need guys. I'm a Depot, but they do, and they will need Chris Middleton as he goes down. And then it goes through, man, that's a good shot by Trae Young. The Hawks beat my 110 on a last second shot. Beat the beat New Orleans, 114-111, without Booker, who might also miss game four. Chris Paul and Anton step up in the second half as the Suns take a 2-1 lead. The first round should be done by next Saturday. I think we're looking at a Phoenix Golden State Western Conference champion in another 3 weeks. And y'all, Boston Bruins host the New York Rangers today at noon Western time. Toronto is at Florida and Nashville at the Bay later on in the afternoon. Last night, the Edmonton Oilers sent a subtle message to the Colorado Avalanche as they be waiting for the playoffs. Brother Evander Kane scores his 20th goal as Edmonton beat the Avs 6-2. More money. The NFL will play 3 games on Sunday, Christmas. On Christmas Day this year. And that's a travesty. It should not be happening. Christmas Day should be for the family. But the NBA and NFL are now taking over Christmas Day. We're now going to have 3 football games and basketball games at the same time. What are you doing? Thanksgiving Day is basketball all day. Baseball last night, the Giants continue to play new school baseball, and I love it. I love it. They had 7-1 lead Red and Jeff Muncy beat out San Diego last night. I think the ones over the Padres, two home runs. The Mets beat Arizona, I think the 5, on their first West Coast trip. They play San Diego and Los Angeles next before returning to New York. The Yankees beat the Guardians 4-1. The first test for the Evil Empire has made in the sprint race. In the Formula 1, Max Verstappen beat Charles Leclerc by 1.1 seconds in the sprint race as Perez comes in third place in Red Bull and Ferrari will start 1-2 on Sunday morning, our time, afternoon in the East. We got Friday Night Lights, they're all Friday Night News. I will get back in a day. New York. It's so nice they named it twice. You know, the political atmosphere in the United States, better get it right. We have 3 months to go with this, and yesterday, McCarthy backtracked. What though J. Trump has done? I said this many times before. Yes, fan the flames of nastiness, of being an ogre. This is what, and now it trickles down into the states. It trickles down into the cities. It trickles down municipalities across this nation. And now we have little people acting just like him. We don't need this. This nastiness needs to go away. Now, whether you're Democrat or Republican, we cannot have this. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Michigan State Senator was accused of grooming kids by a Republican. And she was so bold to put it on her Facebook page. What are you doing? Here we go.
Mr. President, I didn't expect to wake up yesterday to the news that the senator from the 22nd District had overnight accused me by name of grooming and sexualizing children in an email fundraising for herself. So I sat on it for a while wondering why me. And then I realized, because I am the biggest threat to your hollow, hateful scheme. Because you can't claim that you are targeting marginalized kids in the name of, quote, parental rights if another parent is standing up to say no. So then what? Then you dehumanize and marginalize me. You say that I'm one of them. You say she's a groomer. She supports pedophilia. She wants children to believe that they were responsible for slavery and to feel bad about themselves because they're white. Well, here's a little bit of background about who I really am. Growing up, my family was very active in our church. I sang in the choir. My mom taught CCD. One day, our priest called a meeting with my mom and told her that she was not living up to the church's expectations and that she was disappointing. My mom asked why. Among other reasons, she was told it was because she was divorced and because the priest didn't see her at Mass every Sunday. So where was my mom on Sundays? She was at the soup kitchen with me. My mom taught me at a very young age that Christianity and faith was about being part of a community, about recognizing our privilege and blessings and doing what we can to be of service to others, especially people who are marginalized, targeted, and who had less, often unfairly. I learned that service was far more important than performative nonsense like being seen in the same pew every Sunday or writing Christian in your Twitter bio and using that as a shield to target and marginalize already marginalized people. I also stand on the shoulders of people like Father Ted Hesburgh, the longtime president of the University of Notre Dame, who was active in the civil rights movement, who recognized his power and privilege as a white man, a faith leader, and the head of an influential and well-respected institution, and who saw black people in this country being targeted and discriminated against and beaten, and reached out to lock arms with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he was alive, when it was unpopular and risky, and marching alongside them to say, we've got you, to offer protection and service and allyship to try to right the wrongs and fix injustice in the world. So who am I? I am a straight, white, Christian, married, suburban mom who knows that the very notion that learning about slavery or redlining or systemic racism somehow means that children are being taught to feel bad or hate themselves because they are white is absolute nonsense. No child alive today is responsible for slavery. No one in this room is responsible for slavery. But each and every single one of us bears responsibility for writing the next chapter of history. Each and every single one of us decides what happens next and how we respond to history and the world around us. We are not responsible for the past. We also cannot change the past. We can't pretend that it didn't happen or deny people their very right to exist. I am a straight, white, Christian, married, suburban mom. I want my daughter to know that she is loved, supported, and seen for whoever she becomes. I want her to be curious, empathetic, and kind. People who are different are not the reason that our roads are in bad shape after decades of disinvestment, or that healthcare costs are too high, or that teachers are leaving the profession. I want every child in this state to feel seen, heard, and supported, not marginalized and targeted because they are not straight, white, and Christian. We cannot let hateful people tell you otherwise to scapegoat and deflect from the fact that they are not doing anything to fix the real issues that impact people's lives. And I know that hate will only win if people like me stand by and let it happen. So I want to be very clear right now. Call me whatever you want. I hope you brought in a few dollars. I hope it made you sleep good last night. I know who I am. I know what faith and service means and what it calls for in this moment. We will not let hate win.
And who put it on your calendar?
I don't know.
Somebody on your staff, I take it?
I have no idea.
Well, it wasn't a complete stranger, right? It was somebody from your congressional staff, right?
Probably so, but I have no idea.
And as you sit here, can you tell us why it is that an appearance for you at that demonstration was placed on your calendar?
Can you rephrase that question?
So how did it come to pass that it was put on your calendar that you were going to appear at a demonstration? I understand you said you were too busy.
I don't know. I was so busy just preparing to object. I don't know.
Did you discuss with Mr. Alexander the idea of you coming to appear at a demonstration on January 6th?
I do not recall that, no.
You're not denying that happened. You just don't recall one way or the other.
I do not recall that, no.
Other than people...
That was Marjorie Taylor Greene before the other one, the esteemed senator from Michigan. And interesting that Marjorie Taylor Greene can't remember. Marjorie Taylor Greene cannot remember who put the thing on the calendar. Can't remember if she had visitors on January 6th. Can't remember if she talked to President Trump. See, this is the thing about this. When a person like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Laura Burber, whatever her name is, and Donald J. Trump pressed against the wall, they run. They run because they have no foundation, no base, no wall. Speaking of walls, I was at walls going down in Texas. We have to stop this nonsense. And you white Republicans are going to have to come to a Jesus moment.
Thank you.
That's what I was saying. We're gonna have a Jesus moment. Republicans are gonna say, look, enough is enough. What McCarthy did last week, enough. You said the president must resign. You said this. And now you're backtracking. Republican Party has to come to a Jesus moment. I'm just saying. Okay, news of the week. USC recruit 18-year-old Alicia Gales recovering after she was shot 10 times at a party in North Las Vegas. Number one, what are you doing at 18 years old? Going to school and you're a recruit. Going to a house party. Now, I was an SIU. I was a freshman. You were told all the freshman parties would be on campus. Every one of them. I didn't go to an off-campus party until my last semester of my sophomore year. And I felt administrators will be investigating you. You tried to take the allegations 5 years too late. Boston Celtics Marcus Smart is NBA Defensive Player of the Year. The Washington Football Club, the Washington Football Club is really in trouble because of the revenue missing. They fired 104 paid reports denying the charges. I don't believe it. Because I believe the NFL has two books. One for the government and one for the NFL. Kyle Irving went. Myron 50K. Because he had the fans. Billy Burr had the fans in Boston. So, Irving should have been more than that. Alabama A&M hires ex-NBA Nigerian national coach. The coach, Alabama A&M, congratulated Otis Igley Jr. He will be the A&M coach for this year basketball season. We got Reggie in the house. What's up, Reg?
Big G, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, it's been a busy weekend, man. Busy weekend.
Hey, G, tell me, what the ham sandwich happened in that New Orleans and Phoenix Sun game last night, man? They got to whooping some butt out there. What the ham sandwich happened?
I don't think New Orleans is that good anyway. So this Red, this first round of the playoffs really exposed some of these teams.
Yeah, that's true.
But Golden State Warriors playing Denver. It blows how bad Denver really is. Minnesota, a couple of days ago, losing 20-point lead. You can't do that.
Yeah, I agree with you, G. I agree with you 100%. But you know, when my man got kicked out of the game, I was frustrated on the time being Sunday.
What, say again?
when my man from New Orleans got kicked out of the game last night. I don't know if that was frustration or he was trying to intimidate somebody.
The more I dislike him, the not the cool guy in the room. I'm sorry. That's the one.
Hey, only, look, and the funny thing about it is two players that sit with championship rings, and Barkley ain't one of them.
And Barkley will never get a ring.
And look, and he told them, the only person that can talk to Shaq and say, we beat y'all and we got a championship, and Shaq can't say a word.
Yep.
He told them last week, he said, our coach said they're going to take crazy shots talking about the Orlando Magic when Shaq played against them and Houston, the Rockets. And he told them, he said, let them take some crazy shots. He said, we're going to beat these guys. And they did. I think they were better than
What's going on with the Washington National Baseball Team?
Well, you know they're up for sale, right?
They got beat again today.
Everybody's
doing
today. Well, they rebuilding. You know, they really didn't put a lot of money into making a run. Look, they got their one World Series. They happy. And
Strasburg, he's
still on Strasburg's still on the witness protection plan. As far as you know. Strawberry break glass and bring them in. You know what I mean?
Last night, the Giants were playing them. And then the guy on second base. The guy on second base with two outs.
Yep.
And the guy is a single. It's 7-1. Giants lead 7-1. The guy ran to third base and slid the whole plate. And they got to fight, man.
They got to fight with the Mets the second game of the year. It was game two, and the season just started. And Washington, they was fighting with the Mets. I said, Jesus Christ,
the season
ain't started good. And y'all fighting all
that?
That's frustration. They getting out there whooping butt already. I said, I'd be there. Y'all got 100-some games to go.
They got to fight last night. Like, oh, my God.
Look at this. You know what they said? We'll lose the game, but we'll win that fight. I said, Lord, have mercy. But, gee, got to get the million-dollar question out for you, sir.
Okay.
What the hell is going on with the 49ers and their wide receiver?
Debo Samuels wants the money. He wants the money. I don't blame him. He wants a guaranteed contract. That's what he wants.
Yeah, I'll bet the guy that runs that.
What happened was, Debo was playing wide receiver and running back. He said, I got to get paid for this.
Don't forget, he ran some punt returns too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a Swiss Army knife. They had doing a little bit of everything.
I think they're trying to shorten my man's career.
That's what I think.
Yeah, that too.
Playing out of position.
The National Football League will play 3 games on Christmas Day. I had your mind.
Say what?
The National Football League is going to play 3 games on Christmas Day.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
That's on what day? Thursday?
No, it's on Monday this year.
Monday night?
Yeah, I think it's Monday this year, yeah.
They're going to play three Christmas games on a Monday
night.
They got to pay for that contract, that new contract they signed with Troy Aikman and what's it called?
Red, what are you doing?
I don't think that Troy Aikman and Buck is going to move the needle as far as them getting ratings. I don't think, so people really don't look at Monday Night Football no more.
I am not a Jim Buck, but I think he's one of the boys people I've heard on radio. On TV,
yeah.
He does not excite me at all.
He doesn't tell me anything at all. T Mac told you they're gonna kill the golden goose. They're gonna make that thing golden goose until she can't make it anymore.
Let me get a token right now. It's token right now.
They can't kill that golden goose.
What are you doing?
She's gonna have hemorrhoids and they get done with her. They do anything they can
to
stop her down.
Red, think about this. Regular season, and the last weekend of December, right? You have two games on Saturday, you have two games. Sunday, you have regular season games. And turn around on Monday, you have three more games on Monday. What are you doing? What are you doing? You crazy?
Greed. They greedy. Come on, you know that G, they're greedy. They don't care. So my man said greed is good. Wall Street, greed is good.
Oh, my goodness.
They greed.
When I read that, I said they got to be out of their minds.
Long sponsorship there, and people are going to pay for it. The NFL is going to do whatever they want to do, and they don't care. They like Donald Trump. We're going to do it, and nothing you can do to stop them. We're going to keep on moving forward.
Well, I'll tell you what. The NFL is in trouble. You know why they're in trouble? The XFL has four black coaches. Not one, not two, not three. Four black coaches.
Man, they're already.
That's right. They're all beat the NFL and black coaches.
What are you doing?
And the SFL, four black coaches. Why can't you? What's wrong with you?
You got rich white owners. That's what's wrong. They want to be comfortable with who they put in charge. Don't matter if he's incompetent, like a former coach of the Giants, you know, football coach of the Giants, they don't care.
I grew up a Giant fan. I was born and raised a Giant fan.
Hello.
After I read the article about this quarterback, I was like, what are you doing?
Barkley is a good player.
Why you want to wear him down? And they go right down through my
meat. Yeah. Hey, gee, let me call you right back.
All right. Thank you, Reg. All right, we got more news. I want to go to the Debo's annual thing here. Listen to what they say about Debo's annual.
Kind of a little sad. I don't love it. And I feel like it might be more of the story than we're getting. It might come out here. So what's your reaction, Peter, to Debo's trade request?
Well, his unhappiness has been brewing. But this goes back to even the Super Bowl. When I was on the Super Bowl, and I was speaking to people there, and it was like, Debo's got to get paid this offseason. And I was like, really? Okay. And they're like, no, Debo's got to get paid this offseason. Now, that payment hasn't happened yet. And then you lead to this, and Ian's talking about how gave him $30 million and wouldn't even do that with his usage. I have a little question about that because I thought Debo Samuel kind of embraced the role last year. And when I say kind of, he's the one who called himself the wide back. He nicknamed himself for what he was doing. And I watched the playoffs, and they're up 16-7 against Dallas. And Debo looks to Kyle Shanahan and says, give me the rock, 20-yard carry, touchdown, let's go. Debo strengthened. Look at the postseason here, the numbers. I asked our production staff to put this up. Just in the postseason alone, in three games, he carried the rock 27 times. And this would all be great ammo for him to say, hey, look, I don't want to do this stuff. This is I shouldn't have to be asked that. I think that's a conversation with Kyle Shanahan. I would also add that you're going to get some healthy running backs back next year. I think Eli Mitchell's now in his second year. Trey Sermon's in his second year. This could all be a conversation. I don't know if this is something from Debo's camp where it's like he absolutely does not want to be used that way, and that's fine. There's financials there, and how much is he going to be paid as a pure wide receiver? That's okay. But when Ian says that if Debo Samuel was offered $30 million, I would say that's crazy. I think San Francisco is the perfect offense for him. And Kyle Shanahan's not a dictator. Like I've talked to a lot of players who have played for Kyle, and there's a lot of coaches who have worked with Kyle. Like, it's a conversation with Kyle. Like, hey, coach, I'm good. Like, let me just do I don't want to carry the ball on this.
Sure.
I think Kyle would listen to that and say, okay, cool, let's figure it out. Let's make it work for both of us. But the trade demand, and I'll tell you my reaction, is that I texted a lot of the GMs of those teams who were mentioned, and it's, you know, teams, you can list 12 deep. They're like, they're not trading Debo Samuel. Like, Kyle would never trade. He's too important. So, yes, you can request a trade, and he has every right to be upset if he's upset with the way he was used. But I feel like that's a conversation. And Debo Samuel should be a 49er. I can't see him in any other uniform. That was the identity of the Niners, and that's what got them to the NFC Championship game. And it's been great for Debo's career, too.
Well, is it authentic? Is he just, like, throwing a fit and making a huge nuclear power play to be paid? That's fine. Do what you want to do. He's been sitting here. I think the timing of it is interesting. He's been around for months. This guy gets paid. He gets a little bored. I want to get paid. Or is he seriously like, I want the hell out of here. I don't want to be here. I've got a personal thing. I like the positional thing. I'm not sure about that. Because there's enough sense in Debo or anybody who's representing him to be like, okay, so you don't like being in that position where you're the biggest star in the NFL and you're winning playoff games and they were looking to pay. You want to go be a pure wide receiver for the Jets? Good luck. Like, I don't know if that's what Debo wants. I wonder if this is just more of a power play. But if he really does want out, if he's like, I do not want to play ever again for the 49ers, he'll be gone. Like, in this day, they will trade you, and they'll probably trade you in the next 7 days. I just look at the Niners of, like, if things with Debo don't work out, like, they are in trouble. If things with Trey Lance don't work out, they're in hell. They have nothing. Like, they are going to collapse. They could be a top-five pick again. Debo is really important. No one is as important as number five in the second year. Nobody. They traded everything. He's the future. They got squat if he can't play. And asking him to go out with new coaches, new run game corners, and no number 19 is not a plan for success. I just don't think, as much as we can say Debo's great, they have to make Trey Lance work with what they paid for him, or they're screwed. If he works, they can win the Super Bowl this year. If he doesn't, they could be in the top five, top 10 again. So if only as a best friend and a comfort and a weapon for Trey Lance, you have to keep Debo Samuel in the building because I don't want him going to battle with a draft pick Chris Olave is going to get. I don't. We know the fallacy of draft picks. It's a fairy tale. None of them are going to be Debo. You got to keep him there if only for Trey Lance alone, even if he's unhappy.
Yeah, Debo's the best player. You know, Trey Lance has got to be hitting him up.
You have to.
What do I need to do? Like, can we do brunch? Can we do lunch? Can we do dinner? What do I have to do to keep him here? This is really mind-boggling. I'm trying to wrap my head around this whole thing because I do feel like in the playoffs, We'd sit here at the table and say, all right, put on the sunglasses. Who's going to be the brightest star? It was Debo. Who's going to be the guy we're talking about after the game? It was going to be Debo. He was their offense. He was their best player. And now all of a sudden, like, all right, I want to go somewhere else, and there is money on the table. So it's not like they're saying, hey, look, we'll talk about it next year. The only thing I can chalk it up to is, look, he just recently had a baby, right, in December.
Okay.
And you have a kid, you don't sleep. All right, this is LOS. This is lack of sleep right now. He will come to his senses because Debo, look, you've got an unbelievable front office and an unbelievable coaching staff. If you were to tell me that there was going to be a team that had a disgruntled player, the 49ers might be last on my list. When you have a guy like John Lynch, who played in the NFL, has great rapport with the players, Kyle Shanahan, who, to your point, strikes, look, he's got an open-door policy. That's great. He's down in the locker room. He's talking to the guys. So I'm shocked that this is going on with the 49ers. And Debo, I would like you to just, like, take a nap, take a cup of coffee, take a chill here, look around the NFL right now and just ask yourself, what other team can do with me what the 49ers have been doing?
Mm-hmm.
What other team can have 9 rushing touchdowns right here as we're seeing right here? I mean, these are design plays where he's lined up as running back.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it sounds cute. A lot of teams try to do it. Jason Garrett tried to do it with Kadarius Toney last year. Hey, this guy's a guy's a player. Find a way to get him the football. Not every team can execute it the way the 49ers do.
Mm-hmm.
Not every team has Kyle Juszczyk.
Mm-hmm.
Not every team has George Kittle.
Yeah, Trent Williams.
Trent Williams. I mean, this is the bread and butter. When they get down in the red zone, the ball's going to Debo.
Mm-hmm.
And look, whether it's one of these runs or whether it's a quick go screen right here, I mean, this right here, if you're Trent Lance, like, I can't lose that. That was a go screen. Right, the ball didn't even cross the line of scrimmage when I threw it, and yet here he is in the end zone, and I'm celebrating. That's what you need with a rookie quarterback. So no doubt about it. If you're Trey Lance, you're looking at all this stuff, you're watching film, you're saying, that was a laser screen,
right?
And it's to the house. So this, to me, this has got to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the 49ers are scratching their heads trying to say, what
yeah.
more can we do
mm-hmm.
to make you happy and keep you here?
From the Niners' perspective, and you're saying this from Trey Lance's perspective, I got to have him. And then the time you brought Debo's perspective into the conversation, you said, what other offense are you going to be able to do this in? If I was Debo, who has not spoken, by the way, this is all out there in the universe via proxy and rumors and whispers and all that, but I didn't put that trade in weeks ago. Debo is saying it's not, as Ian just said, not just about the contract. It's about his usage. So if you're saying, who else can use you like this, I think you'd say, are you listening to me? It's not about that completely. Do I know what it's about? No, but I mean, usage seems to be interesting. It's interesting also, Shreve, that the usage sort of does go back to the contract and the money, because I wonder, is there someone in his ear that's like, hey, it was all great to call, what do they call themselves, a wide
back?
Okay, a wide back, but like, that might affect your money. That might affect how you get paid, because that's really the only reason, I could even think, Shreve, that Debo would have it in his head to be disgruntled.
Yes.
So I think there's much more of
the
story.
And that's fine. That's the awesome thing. They haven't heard, I'm not going to make it. My career, that's a conversation to have.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think it's get me out of here.
Talk about the minutiae of that for a minute. Shorten his career in the contract based on position. What does that mean?
Because if you carry well, suddenly the usage rate is too high. No one wants to pay for Debo Samuel at age 33. Like, you know, you want him now at this rate right now, and they used him like no other player was used in the NFL, and there's obviously an injury risk with the way he's used. There's also a usage rate where, okay, what we would say, the tread on the tires with these guys, like, you start using him as a running back and a wide receiver, and at some point it's like, hey, he's not as good as he was a couple of years ago because we've just kind of grounded him to the dug him to the ground.
Just the position, right? Does playing at running back and being used at running back devalue Debo Samuel?
I don't think so.
I think
we wouldn't have this conversation if he was just a wide receiver.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, I don't know if he's a pure wide receiver like the other guys, like Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Against man coverage, Debo Samuel is not those guys.
He's not going to cost him
special,
anything.
Special, yeah. And 9 rushing touchdowns, I think that's worth some money. Pete, real quick, I just want to ask you, because the one thing that I think is interesting going forward now
mm-hmm.
is Sean Watson getting that big guaranteed contract and all that money there for Debo. This may not be about the money per year, but the guarantee.
Well, I don't even know about the financials, honestly.
Right, so that could be, I mean, you say, look, it's...
But they're saying, Ian's coming out and saying, it's not even about the money. Forget guaranteed, this, that. Ian's saying, it is, like Kay said, it is about his situation there, and he's not happy with it, which is a tough one because he is so unique.
Mm-hmm.
On the open market, I don't know if there's a single comp
mm-hmm.
for what Debo Samuel does. And if you put him on another team, to your point, the way that offense is built, I'm not sure he's as effective. One last point, his agent, the guy Tory Dandy, has been doing this for years, great, great agent, also represents Denzel Ward, who got $100 million last week, also represents A.J. Brown,
also represents DK Metcalf. So Tori's very busy right now.
Interesting.
And that South Carolina guy right down there, Debo Samuel, let's just say he is a very coveted player, but no team wants him more than the Niners.
This feels like if Kyle came in and said, I don't want to do angry runs anymore.
Mm-hmm. It does, honestly. It is.
Thank you very much. I think I'm better used in other positions breaking down film. So we'll get into that with my agent.
And take value because you're losing years of your life in that segment.
Okay.
And that's what Debo Samuel is about. I think this is Gary Gray's take on this. Is he wants a guaranteed contract. Guaranteed money in case he gets injured. That's what this is about. Moving on, Thursday, the junior college pitcher, Owen Woodward, from Winterfell College, will not be playing four games. Why are you saying? He made a blind tackle at third base after a North Central Texas player home run. Josh Phillips, you know, run and talk trash. All the way from first base, he was talking trash. But by the time he got to third base, Owen Woodward made a flying tackle and knocked him out. He will be suspended for games. Actually, he was suspended for the team on Friday afternoon. Raider Nation is in mourning as Dallas Monica, a.k.a. Bad Bomber, passed away. 80 years old, the late great number three of the Black and Silver, the 94 game. We will miss Santa Monica, the first Super Bowl victory of the Oakland Raiders, drafted by Buffalo Bills. Green Bay also had his draft rights, but he wanted to go to the AFL. He had more opportunity in the AFL. We also got word of the asking 911 call. And it states that he was going for gas. But my question is, why would you go across a four-lane highway, bruh? I don't know. On the 9th. Ben Simmons is going to play in the NBA. We will see. And more news for the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is being sued by a woman. And the woman said, okay, we'll get a paternity. We'll get a paternity test, a DNA test. On the west coast of San Francisco, Mike Tyson entered a JetBlue plane and there beat somebody up. The person that was being beat up and trying to get a payday. I saw this is payday, a scheme. He threw a water bottle at Tyson, trying to make him mad. I'll tell you what, I ain't messing with my Tyson. The New York Mets take 2 out of 3 for the San Francisco Giants, and the Mets look good. Snyder. Verlander and DeGrom are still on IR, and they come back. The pitching in New York, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out.
Charlotte Hornets, we looking for a new head coach. James Borrego will be let go. The second Latino coach and the third coach will be let go this year. Lakers fired Frank Vogel. And Al Gentry retired from Sacramento Kings. So Sacramento Kings, Los Angeles Lakers, and now Charlotte Hornets are all looking for new head coaches. The Hockey Nation is wearing black today, as we mourn the loss of the great Canadian Montreal Canadiens, Guy Lafleur, the Flower. But the Montreal Canadiens won 5 Stanley Cups, 4 MVPs. Number 10 will be remembered forever. The Montreal Canadiens, Stanley Cup champions. Dwayne Haskins was laid to rest on Friday in Rockaway Township, New Jersey. The parents did not go to the funeral. And we don't know the reason why, we don't know. But we mourn the loss of Dwayne Haskins this week. Carol Monica. And Guy Lafleur. Every weekend. Speaking of weekend, Marshawn Lynch joined the Seattle Kraken as a minority owner of the Kraken. The first African-American in the hockey, the old hockey team. NFL, baseball, do you hear this? Macklemore, the rapper, also owns part of the Kraken. And the Seattle Kraken is going to be a very interesting franchise because they will get players from the Asian market. And we will see how this works out. We'll take a break. It's an interesting league, but we have to get to know who these play in the DIO NBA Open. BJ, as we get the RBC Heritage Classic, with George Smith winning a bell over Patrick Kent. Anyway, WTA, as we get the Barcelona Bank Open, the Serbia Open, and the Porsche Tennis Grand Prix. Also, the Istanbul. Is the Bowl Champions League have four different tournaments all over the world last week at WTA. NASCAR. Last week they raced the Bristol Motor Speedway. And Tennessee Kyle Busch was the winner. This week they raced the Geico 500 at Talladega Speedway. In Talladega, Alabama. Next week is Dora Max at Dover, Delaware. IndyCar, it'll start the rest of the year until May 14th. Formula One. Last week they were off. This week is the Italian Open, or the Italian Grand Prix. The first practice, the Ferraris are going crazy. The Ferraris are going 1-2. But the Clerk and Sykes, the Mercedes team, Mercedes-Benz team, have real problems with their cars. And Hamilton is not making it a secret. He has been completely always wrong about his car. He is in P14, position 14 for tomorrow race. Is he happy about that? Mr. Russell is teammate in number 10. So Mercedes-Benz, they have to do a better job in the practice runs. Well, it will be out of the Constructors' Cup Championship, and it will be the first time in 8 years that the Constructors' Cup will not be in Mercedes-Benz hands. Hamilton made it known he is not a happy camper. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back. Thank you.